I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 536 are Kevin Bentley.
Good evening, everyone.
Roy David.
A drink by the fireplace at either one of these hotels would be an ideal place for me.
And Ryan Treichler.
Hello, everybody.
So it's been a while since we've taken a thorough look at the Walt Disney World Resort hotels, kind of category by category. Over the last couple of months, we've gotten that ball rolling again, taking a closer look at the moderate and value category resorts. But tonight, we'll continue that series with a closer look at sort of a subset of the deluxe resorts, what we call the Deluxe Lodge resorts, which would be Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge. But before we get too deep into that discussion, I do need to take a second and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right, so we're turning our attention finally to some of the deluxe resort hotels, and we grouped the deluxe lodges together. You know, they aren't near each other geographically, like when we group monorail resorts together and Crescent Lake resorts together. They're on very different locations of Walt Disney World property, but they do share an awfully lot in common. And maybe that's a way to kind of get started. I don't know, you know, Kevin, what's one of those kind of big similarities between Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge?
I think the big and open atrium area when you come in.
Okay. Yeah.
Are very similar. Right. And they both have got, well, I know Wilderness Lodge has the totem poles, but Animal Kingdom Lodge also has some tall type poles in that tall atrium area also.
Right, right. So they do share a lot of design cues. In fact, they even share the same designer. So, you know, they do have sort of echoes of each other, although they do each have a unique look. It's not like, you know, identical resorts that are painted different colors. But that's a really good point. They do have very similar sort of design cues. Roy, what's something else that's similar about these two resorts?
I think the one thing, I guess, to sort of dovetail on the, you know, the lobbies and the areas and that first hit you when you first walk in. Both resorts to me are designed for people to really enjoy the surroundings. In other words, you know, at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you've got obviously got the savannas there. At the Wilderness Lodge, especially on a cooler day, you got this massive fireplace that you can sit next to. I think the lobbies are designed for people to actually sit and congregate and actually enjoy the surroundings around them. Sometimes you don't get that in some of the other resorts, but these kind of feel like home to me. You know what I mean? It kind of feels like a place where I could just sort of kick my feet up with a cup of coffee and strike up a good conversation with somebody.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a well-taken point. They do have that sort of really inviting decor, and they have that feel that invites you to kind of hang out there at the resort. Ryan, how about you? What's something else that's similar about these resorts, and that might be, you know, reasons to talk about them together?
So kind of building off of what Roy said, I think that both of these resorts offer a tremendous amount to do actually at the resort. So if you're looking at a even a non-park visit, you've got with Animal Kingdom Lodge, you have all of the different things to do with the savannas, and there's so many different things to do just around the resort during the day. And then if you look at Wilderness Lodge, you have all the things that connect over at Fort Wilderness. So you have, you know, miles of trails that you can walk around. You have the waterfront. You have so many different things to do that really go beyond what you have at any of the other resorts at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think that they do definitely have a similarity in terms of, you know, those kind of on property, on the, in and around the resort, sort of recreational elements, right? Things that do, again, much as Roy was talking about, sort of invite you to just hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. And both have rooms that are exactly the same size too.
Right. So that's back to the design element. And alongside that, they also are the only deluxe properties that have the, you know, certain room types, in particular rooms with bunk beds. There are no other deluxe resorts with bunk beds, unless you want to count a few of the, like the treehouse villas at Saratoga, you know, have a one room that has bunks in them. But, you know, for the most part, you're not going to get a bunk bed in a normal room in the other.
Now, I have slept in one of those bunk beds.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
So big enough even for an adult.
Yes, you just have to be very careful how you sit up. My son, it took a while for Noah to learn that when he stayed in the bed on a bottom bunk for several days and every morning woke up and slammed his head.
Ouch.
So you have to, there's not a lot of headroom, but they're actually lengthwise pretty good.
Okay. And, you know, I think another thing that they have in common, and it kind of goes along with the thing about similar room categories and room sizes and all of that, is that they tend to fall along a similar price point, at least. Really kind of, you know, noticeably higher than the pricing in the moderate resorts, but also usually, you know, a fairly clear step, less expensive than the other deluxe resorts.
I think that comes from a lack of something that separates them from the other deluxe resorts too, is you know, connection to the parks, where you have a boat transportation. Both of these resorts, with the other deluxe resorts, you either have walking distance or a monorail to get to a park in addition to a boat. And so I think that lack of transportation is a similarity between them.
Right, that'll play into it as well, and I think we'll take a little closer look at those transportation issues as we talk about each of the resorts individually. But it is true, kind of categorically, that they have a less inviting transportation plan. Right, fewer options are available,
and I think to sort of fall into that as well, knowing that they don't have the monorail running through their lobbies or having a short walk to Epcot or a short ferry ride, the design of the resort was created to actually make the resort truly a destination. Both resorts offer experiences that many of the other deluxe resorts don't have. You know, things like sure. Obviously having the animals out at night in the savannah, or doing the tour of the lodge, you know, on a regular basis there, or you know, things like that. You don't see in other places. So
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, let's try to take a little deeper dive now then into the Wilderness Lodge first. It opened a few years before Animal Kingdom Lodge. It opened, let's see, back in 94. So, several years ahead of Animal Kingdom Lodge. And it's had a lot of expansion recently. We just got sort of completion of the most recent expansion of the villas at Wilderness Lodge. And, you know, we kind of, in both of these resorts cases, need to consider, along with the regular rooms, the Disney Vacation Club rooms that are part of the complex at each of these resorts. So starting with Wilderness Lodge, let's kind of give people a feel for, you know, the resort itself, an overview. So somebody is going to be looking at staying at Wilderness Lodge. What are those basics about the resort? Who wants to start by kind of laying out the room situation? What are your options? Anybody?
Well, so at you have a couple of different categories of rooms. In addition to the types of things that you can have in the rooms, like having a king bed and a day bed, two queens, or a queen and bunk beds. You also have options. There is a concierge floor at Wilderness Lodge that you can stay on. So that's one category. You have standard view rooms, and then you also have pool view. And I think I don't know if they're actually categorized as park view, but I think you can see from the upper level of the kind of left-hand exterior rooms. I think you can see, you can potentially see the park.
Right. So room category wise, at Wilderness Lodge, you've got, as Ryan mentioned, a couple of different sort of, bed setups. But in terms of views, you've got your standard view, which, is run of the house, could be anything, courtyard view. So the Wilderness Lodge forms kind of a U in the central part of the building, and the rooms that look in towards that center courtyard are an upgrade category. And so the standard view is sort of exterior, and courtyard view is interior, if that makes sense, right? The standard view is looking out the sides, generally towards the woods that are around the resort. And so those are your basic views. And the one downside, I think, of Wilderness Lodge on this front is that whole matter of the, the king bed versus the two queens. Because unlike even, say, French Quarter, right, which has a king bed room category, there is no room category for a king bed at Wilderness Lodge. If you want a king, you can request it, but they won't guarantee it as a bookable room category.
Well, if you're going with DVC, there is a way.
Sure, right?
Because when they redid and came up with Copper Creek, all the one bedrooms end up all come with a king bed. I believe the studios still are a queen with a queen sleeper, but the one bedrooms and two bedrooms and even the three bedrooms were king beds.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good point. So there is a way to guarantee yourself a king. It just involves getting a bigger room. And generally speaking, those rooms, they can be available for cash booking. So they are an option. As a matter of fact, I think it's important to mention that Wilderness Lodge has a really kind of unique, I almost hate to share this little secret, right? Because it's one of those things that I can sometimes help people get a really good deal out of. And that is that the deluxe studio at Wilderness Lodge, in the both the newer Copper Creek and the older Boulder Ridge DVC sections, will actually accommodate five instead of just four in a standard room. They've got that extra fold-down bed, much like Port Orleans Riverside or Caribbean Beach Resort has. And so you can put five in a deluxe studio at Wilderness Lodge. And it's an interesting option to have. I mean, it's a little crowded for deluxe stay, a deluxe room with five people in it, but it's an option that normally would push you into a much more expensive deluxe resort.
I guess that's becoming a almost a standard feature now, it sounds like, getting that fifth person in all those rooms.
Except that it's not. I mean, the only resorts so far that I know of, and DVC owners can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the only deluxe studios that will accommodate a fifth person right now are Wilderness Lodge, Polynesian, yep, and I want to say Old Key West or Saratoga, one or the other.
Boardwalk also has, they redone the rooms at Boardwalk. It has a pull down.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. There. Okay. That's fairly recent, that redo.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think that, so it seems to be as they refurbish the DVC studios, they're all getting they're all switching to that, which actually is annoying to the DVC owners because you're now able to sleep five in a studio, but you pay twice as much for a one bedroom and you can only sleep four in it.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the great irony, right? That you know, to pay more for a one bedroom and you can only accommodate four.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand that particular move, but then again, I don't know. I'm not sure it's a logic issue.
One of the things that you mentioned that's probably worth highlighting is that there's multiple sections of DVC at Wilderness Lodge. So you mentioned Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek. So whereas other deluxe resorts that have DVC will usually have a DVC building. At Wilderness Lodge, you have the Boulder Ridge building, which is one set. You have Copper Creek, which is, I think Copper Creek are the ones that are the converted old hotel rooms. And then you also have the villas, which are amazing, that are down on the waterfront.
Right, right. So let's turn our attention for just a minute and we'll circle back to some other things, involving the rooms at Wilderness Lodge in a minute, but I want to make sure we get a good overview of the, you know, amenities of this particular deluxe resort, because one of the things that I really love about Wilderness Lodge, really both of these hotels, is I think they've got some really excellent restaurant choices. Roy, maybe you can talk a little bit about the restaurants at Wilderness Lodge.
Sure. The Wilderness Lodge enjoys the advantage of that every level of service for restaurants, whether it's quick service to table service to family style, they have it all there. So it's, you can experience every single level. They do it very, very well. At the Wilderness Lodge, they recently did a renovation of Roaring Forks, which is their quick service location. The best way to describe Roaring Forks is like a mini food court. It's kind of designed in that kind of that, you know, central area where they have service windows serving different types of food all in one little area there, but a little bit on a smaller scale. But the food there is always excellent. You can take your food right outside next to the pool. As far as table service goes, you've got Whispering Canyon, which is a pretty raucous family style restaurant. That's always a good go-to for anybody with kids, because they have a great time with the servers. With my family, if we can't get Ohana, Whispering Canyon is always a choice 1A for us. And then also, if you have signature dining, it's, you know, you really want a really good place for a nice elegant meal. Artist Point is a wonderful restaurant there as well. They have an excellent wine list. Many of their wines come from the Pacific Northwest. The Cedar Plank salmon is absolutely to die for, as is their berry cobbler. And just recently now, I know that they've just renovated the outdoor restaurant area, Geyser Point, and I've been hearing it's been getting rave reviews. I can't wait to get down there. So again, you've got a plethora of choices, however you want to eat it, whether you want to eat on the fly or sit down and really enjoy yourself, or just have a nice quiet meal with one or two people, you can do it all at the Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah. And I think that's really the key point there, is that you've got a little everything available to you, from now multiple quick service options to everything from standard table service to maybe a little fancier little signature dining deluxe option. And I think what I like about all of them is that they do seem to really make the effort to fit into their surroundings, right? They're themed well to Wilderness Lodge, and they're not none of the restaurants are really sort of fussy, right? Even the signature restaurant is a little more laid back. It's got a little more, that sort of, Pacific Northwest laid back feel, as opposed to the more formal, maybe a little stuffier feel of some of the other signature dining restaurants.
Yeah, I think Artist Point tends to have an air of casual elegance, as the best way I would describe it. You don't have to put a jacket on like you would if you had to go to Victoria and Albert's. And it doesn't have some of the other attractions that some have, like like California Grill's got the great view of the Magic Kingdom, or Yachtsman Steakhouse is world renowned for its steaks. Artist Point really just does the food very well, and they do it in such a way where you're having a special meal, but you don't have to feel as if you're mortgaging your son's college education to get there. So
right. All right. Anybody else want to add anything about the restaurants themselves?
What I like about it is everything is fairly close. It's not a long walk to anything. Either of the two pools, which, by the way, the new one over at Boulder Ridge, since they redid it, is just phenomenal. Yep. So they have two really good pools. But all the restaurants are close by, so there's not a long walk to anything. I think that's one of the reasons I like that resort is the closeness of everything. You don't have to walk necessarily to another building if you're in the main building. And even if you're over in Boulder Ridge, it's not that far of a walk to walk over to any of the restaurants or any of the activities or any of the pools.
Yeah, I mean, for a resort with as much sort of variety of what's going on as Wilderness Lodge has, it really is pretty compact. Ryan, was there something else you wanted to add as well?
No, I was just going to say that Geyser Point, the bar looks incredible. When we were down there recently looking at it, we didn't get a chance to eat there, but they've done a really, really good job in creating a space that's very, very inviting. And so as an alternative to some of the other restaurants, it looks great. And it's also got that, I think it's kind of a combined quick service and table service where you can choose. There's different ways that you can get your food. So you have some different pricing options there too.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about it. And I will say my one quibble, my one complaint about dining at Wilderness Lodge is, and it doesn't look like they really took care of this in the most recent updates either, is that Roaring Forks still, they've done a nice job with the theming without having to go overboard. I get it. It's a quick service, but the menu just is it's the only one that doesn't seem to make any effort to blend the surroundings and the rest of the resort theming in with the menu. Right. I mean, there's nothing Pacific Northwest about that menu. Yeah. At all.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense.
Roaring Forks also seems like a really small quick service to me. Every time I've been there, you particularly if you're at a meal time, you have people kind of crammed in everywhere in there. I mean, it's great if you have outdoor space, but if you have to eat at a quick service on a day that it's raining, you may wind up going back to your room to eat with the food. It's just there's not a lot of seating area for the size of the resort.
No, that's definitely true. And that's actually one of the reasons I was so glad to see Geyser Point opening up is that I think it will help a little bit with that congestion that you tend to get at Roaring Forks, particularly breakfast time.
Yep.
One of the things I'm looking forward to the next time I go down there is, at Geyser Point, I mean, just looking at the menu there and the drink menu, it's not your atypical Disney watering hole where everybody's making the same drinks. They seem to have made a conscious effort to sort of make Geyser Point a unique destination where this is the only place you can get, these drinks being made, things like that. So again, it just adds a little bit more variety to the resort. Makes it a little bit more of a destination. And, for us Diz dads, after trudging through the park mile after mile after mile, I'd like nothing more than to be able to sit at Geyser Point and just kick back with a drink that I know that I can only get there as opposed to anyplace else.
Yeah, I think they've done more and more of that around the resorts as they've opened up new, new lounges and new bars. They've stepped up their game when it comes to making sure that each of those lounges has some sort of unique signature item that is, aside from the standard bar menu that they're all making. All right. Well, I do want to circle back a little bit because one of the things about Wilderness Lodge, and we alluded to it in terms of talking about different room categories, is that now with the new DVC rooms opening up, it has sort of, because the volume of those rooms has increased, right? The number of rooms available has increased. There are more of those kinds of rooms, it seems to me, showing up with availability for non-DVC guests, for cash booking as well. And the ones that obviously jump out are the new cabins. There are cabins in both the Copper Creek and Boulder Ridge areas. And these are the kind of bungalow type buildings that are right out on Bay Lake. I don't know. I mean, I haven't gotten to see one in person yet, but just from the photographs, these are gorgeous buildings, gorgeous rooms.
Yeah. They are amazing. We toured them the last time we were down. If you're staying there, they'll give you tours of them. Okay. And we went and it is really neat. The thing that I didn't realize is that it's actually a plunge pool it's a hot tub as opposed to a plunge pool, which is what they have at Poly.
Oh, that's a much better choice.
Yeah. And I was thinking they were out over the water. They're actually not over the water. They just kind of abut the water. So you're not out over the water like you are at Poly.
Right. Yeah. Not on stilts, just a really great close view.
Exactly. And you have kind of a little patio area. So they are great. The kitchen in them is just really neat. The bathroom is the master bathroom is really incredible. The master bathroom showers is huge. I think with the rain shower head and everything else. And we walked out and my son was like, "All right, how many years do we have to save our points for me to use this for my honeymoon?"
Well, and I mean the whole interior with these big exposed beams that just really kind of at the same time that they echo the main building and tie it into the resort, make them feel like their own. I mean, they are separate standalone structures that makes them totally different and unique.
Yeah, they are. And it is great. They're kind of a little bit sectioned off to themselves. You have separate area to walk out to them, but they blend well with the surroundings while still having their own sense of purpose.
Yeah. And really, I mean, look, they're not inexpensive, right? I happen to go ahead and pull up, room only rates on a random, mid-February, inexpensive time to stay, right? Mid-February, yep. Non-holiday week. I went ahead and found one available. Now, a cabin will sleep 8 adults. It's got a king bed, a queen sleeper sofa, and then the bunk size pull down and a twin sleeper chair. So one of the things I like about that setup is that you've got a lot of separate sleeping surfaces. In addition to having lots of bed space, having that bunk pull down and the twin size sleeper chair is I think kind of a nicer option than just having a double bed fold out sofa.
Yep.
In addition, I just think a lot of circumstances where it works better, but even price wise, a 6-night stay in that in mid-February there, it still comes in at, I got to click the button and let it tell me. All right. So yeah. So it's not inexpensive. So it's almost $2,000 a night, right? A little over $1,900 a night for the cabin. But you can sleep 8 adults. So if you think of it in terms of being almost 2 rooms, it's still expensive.
Yes.
It's still $1,000 per room, per night. So it's not inexpensive, but you're accommodating essentially 2 families together. I don't know. I mean, I, I, Okay, I can't make myself say that the pricing sounds reasonable when it's almost $13,000 for a 6-night stay. But yeah, it doesn't feel as absurd as the Poly bungalow pricing to me. I don't know. Am I way off base there?
I think the pricing from the Poly was such a shock that I think anything compared to that, like you said, it's going to not seem as tremendous. But the way I look at it is whether it's the Poly or the Wilderness Lodge. Cabins are great. Obviously, they're beautifully, you know, decorated. They've got all the amenities, but you know, for that kind of, you know, for that kind of money and anything else, I'd rather go for a Granville and make sure everybody has a place to sleep, you know, and not just the floor. You know, I guess
right.
That's
well, I mean, and there's the real shocker, right? Because if you compare it to the 2-bedroom villa that also sleeps 8 adults.
Right.
Except that it uses, you know, the different, you know, it's a king bed, 2 queen beds, and then a queen size sleeper sofa. Right. So right. It doesn't have the 2 separate, you know, smaller surfaces. But nonetheless, sleeps 8 adults and it's almost half the price. It's right. An even $1,000 a night for that week I was looking at in February, as opposed to, you know, over 1900 a night in the cabin, and they both sleep 8. So
that's, I think that's the piece that I struggle with is I think what was highlighted isn't necessarily comparing it to the 2-bedroom. It's if you look at like a 3-bedroom villa at Bay Lake overlooking the Magic Kingdom, that's going to be less expensive than the bungalow or the 2-bedroom bungalow. And that's the hard part that's to swallow, because sure, you have a lot more space. You can get a lot more people in there. It's like, I think when I priced it for a week, it was 900 points, which is a lot.
Yeah. Well, and even, you know, Wilderness Lodge does have, you know, one of the things they added in addition to the cabins is they added some 3-bedroom grand villas, which again are gorgeous and huge. Those are a little harder to find for cash prices, just because there are so few of them. But you know, even those price wise, in many cases, you know, you could get the 3-bedroom. If I'm remembering correctly, I was finding pricing on the 3-bedroom grand villa that can sleep 12. Pricing out less than the cabin in some cases.
Yeah. And that's the hard part to swing. Do you really, I mean, it's great to be off by yourself and to have this new thing, but it's a lot of points or a lot of money for, you know, less space than something else.
Right. Right.
How close are the ferry boats to those cabins?
Well, see, that's another area where I think they did a better job at Wilderness Lodge than they did at the Polynesian.
Yeah.
Because at the Poly, you know, the biggest downside to me of those bungalows, other than price, is that they did build them sort of right next door to the big ferry stop, which, yeah, you know, if you've ever been around that area, you probably don't think about it if you're not staying in a bungalow, but those ferry boats are required to sound their horns as they come into their dock.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's a warning. They have to sound, which means right, that you have those horns blaring, you know, 20 feet from the wall, yeah, of your bungalow if you're right on that edge.
Not just the bungalows either. They were going off all night long. We just came back from staying there a couple of nights.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I can imagine them waking me up with like trying to get a baby down in the middle of that action would be just nuts. That's why I was just kind of curious to see how, you know.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, and Ryan, you were there more recently, you can probably tell more directly, but it seemed to me that the cabins at Wilderness Lodge are not, they're like around the beach from where the boat dock is a bit.
Well, yes, there's 2 sections of them. So if you're walking out to the main ferry boat, so you go out, there is one set of cabins that is up off to the left of that, so the farther away, but the majority of the cabins are off to the right. So you actually have to kind of walk down past where the old DBC buildings were, on the other side of the Copper Creek pool, past the new Boulder, the Boulder Ridge pool. And that's where you go to the entrance of it. So you're heading back towards, for the majority of them, you're heading back towards Fort Wilderness to get them. So I think they are a lot more secluded. And I think they're both kind of on, at least the piece that's closer to the boat dock would probably be the piece that's off to the left of it. And that, I think kind of around a bend. So I don't know that the boats would come as close.
Right. I think that's the ones I was thinking about that seemed like they were kind of around the corner almost.
Yep.
They kind of are U-shaped almost if you follow the beach, and the dock is kind of in the middle. So you have some cabins that are real close and some that aren't so close.
Yeah, I seem to recall there was like a little bit of a, I guess for lack of a better term, sort of like a jug handle right around that area.
Yeah.
That, you know, the boats don't normally go through unless they need to or if they're trying to get around something else. Yeah, so I would imagine they'd be a little bit more secluded. But yeah, like when I was looking at the map, I looked at those like maybe one to three cabins that were closest to the dock. I was just wondering what the noise level would be like with that. But
yeah, well, and the other thing. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
When we were there, I mean, everything was in full swing. It was middle of the day. There was people at Geyser Point, people in both pools, and the cabin seemed quiet.
Yeah.
We went into what was probably the first one off as you're facing the docks from the resort, uh-huh. First one off to the right. And we spent a lot of time in there, and even out on the back porch area, which, by the way, is also all screened in. So it has this fireplace that's inside, outside. I mean, they are phenomenal. And they are less points than the three bedrooms. We were comparing them, and they're comparable point-wise pretty much across all the levels with Grand Floridian. We bit the bullet, and we now own there along with Grand Floridian Bay Lake. In Cold Key West. But I was surprised. To me, you could hear the noise even from our studio over at Poly. You could hear people talking and everything from the bungalows, where you couldn't hear anybody. I think they did a much, much better job at Wilderness Lodge with those cabins.
Well, look, they had more space to work with, too. I mean, I think that the Poly, they just kind of were stuck with a very limited footprint. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I think that it devalues what is something that, you know, it's still pretty cool, but I don't know. I mean, it makes it really a lot harder. And we'll probably talk about it more when we get to the Poly, but it makes it a lot harder to justify paying that super premium, even for, you know, a night or two just to experience it, when you know that inevitably even the farthest of the Poly bungalows is in pretty close proximity to that loud horn. And it makes a difference too, that it's a mm-hmm. bigger ferry over at the Polynesian, which has a much louder horn, as opposed to the launches that go back and forth from Wilderness Lodge, which are substantially smaller boats. So they don't have that same horn. If I remember right, most of the sounding from the launches is a bell instead of a horn, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So just it's sound that doesn't carry the same way. All right, well, let's maybe wrap up by just doing a couple of quick round robins. And I want to start with first, we've talked in glowing terms so far about Wilderness Lodge, but there are some things that aren't necessarily ideal about it. And so maybe go around and maybe mention just one of the things that maybe is a bit of a weakness about Wilderness Lodge, something that you know, isn't necessarily ideal about it. I don't know, Roy, what's something that you feel like is a place where Wilderness Lodge either could improve or maybe makes it not so ideal for certain travelers or something along those lines?
I think much like the Animal Kingdom Lodge,
I think one of the bigger drawbacks of it is the actual size of the rooms, not necessarily the villas, but the actual hotel rooms themselves. I believe in both the Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think they average something like 340 square feet, right. You know, as opposed to some of the other deluxes that range anywhere between 380 to 440. You know, when you've got a family of four or five, you know, that makes a big difference between being comfortable to feeling like you need to close a bathroom door to get work done, you know? So, I think that's the only thing that I would think, you know, if I were a family, you know, a large family, but you know, if I had two or three kids, that might factor into my decision as to whether or not I would stay there.
Right. Okay. So they do have, you know, the smallest of the rooms among the deluxe resorts, both the standard rooms at Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge are, 344 square feet, as opposed to the substantially larger rooms in the more expensive deluxe resort hotels. Kevin, is there a downside that you can think of?
Well, one thing we always discuss about picking what resort is the transportation from there.
Yeah.
You know, the buses, kind of a little bit of a walk out front in between the main building and Boulder Ridge. The boat's nice, but getting the buses to the other parts always seems to be, especially at the end of the day, just a bit of a walk.
Well, and as the commutes go, it does sometimes get a little frustrating. I mean, I'm glancing at these commute times, and you know, the bus from Wilderness Lodge to these other parks is really pretty much on a par with the time it takes to get to any of these parks from, you know, like the Disney Springs area moderate resorts. And you're paying a pretty good premium to have a commute to the parks that, you know, is not any better than what you would get at Port Orleans or, you know, in some cases you'd get better commute times from Caribbean Beach.
Yep.
I don't know, Ryan, is there a issue that you would have with Wilderness Lodge somewhere? Maybe a weakness?
The two that I had jotted down were both kind of echoed. Like the transportation was, particularly when I looked at Yelp and other reviews, that was this thing that most people complained about. We haven't had bad experiences with it, but in addition to the buses being bad, there's lots of people that complain about the boat service being irregular or boat service thinking they were going directly to back to the Magic Kingdom and the pilot deciding to go to Fort Wilderness and, you know, having really, really long boat rides. I think transportation is particularly there an issue. And then the lack of the room size leads also to the fact that you don't have – I think it's going to be difficult for them to put in a pull down for a fifth bed.
Right. Yeah, in the standard rooms, that would be a problem. I mean, they do squeeze them in at Port Orleans, and those rooms are, you know, 30 square feet smaller, right? Those are 314 square feet. So yeah. It's done, but it certainly would feel tight in a deluxe room to have, you know, that extra pull down taking up floor space.
Yeah.
All right. And so I think that's a pretty good wrap. Let's go back around one last time because I like to end on the positives. And maybe either a favorite feature of Wilderness Lodge, if we haven't already mentioned it, or maybe sort of a traveler for whom Wilderness Lodge would be a particularly good choice. And Kevin, why don't you get us started this round?
Just going to say one word, Christmas.
Oh, okay. You can do that.
Of all the resorts, that's my favorite resort at Christmas. The decorations and the big tree. It's just phenomenal. At least that's my two cents.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's beautiful. How about you, Roy? You know, either a favorite feature we haven't mentioned before or, you know, maybe a traveler for whom Wilderness Lodge might be ideal.
Well, I've got a couple. I think the one thing that I like most about the Wilderness Lodge, especially at the villas, is that for those who are really into the history of Walt Disney and what he's done and everything, you know, they've got a great little room there, the Carrollwood Pacific Room, that has some exhibits of some of the model trains that he ran in his backyard, and sort of pays a little bit of an homage to the man who created everything. That's kind of neat. But as far as the type of traveler that I think would like the Wilderness Lodge the most is, I think, somebody who really wants to enjoy the hustle and the bustle of everything that Disney has to offer, but at the end of the day wants peace and quiet, because, you know, once you get there, like you said, it's the only thing you're hearing out there are crickets, which is great.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. How about you, Ryan? Anything you want to add, or, you know, kind of travelers that you would suggest might be ideal at Wilderness Lodge?
See, I was thinking that this would be an ideal resort to go to if it was a couple's trip, because of that serenity. Like,
I agree.
While you have a lot of every Disney resort has a lot of kids and chaos at it, I think in the times that we've stayed at Wilderness Lodge, there has been less chaos there. The resort in general seems a little quieter. I don't know if it's because of the seclusion. And there's just so many great places to kind of go and walk around, and trails all around it. So I think it would be a good place for couples to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great resort for couples. And also because I think the room size matters less when it's just the two of you.
Yep.
So you have that benefit. And you know, this may seem a little counterintuitive, but if you're in a situation where, you know, you would really rather have a room with a king bed just for sort of room space reasons, consider actually going ahead and paying the upgrade price for the room with bunk beds, even if you're not going to use them, because the bunk beds take up less floor space than another queen size bed. So it makes the room, I ended up in one of those rooms accidentally at one point. I booked one night at Wilderness Lodge as an add-on at the end of a trip, and I was traveling solo in a room with a bunk bed, and I was struck by how much more, you know, how much bigger the room felt even with the bunk bed in it than a room with two queen beds in it.
Yep.
So
if you look at the floor, as you can see, lots of extra floor space in those rooms.
Yeah, you really can. All right, well, let's go ahead and bounce over to talking more about Animal Kingdom Lodge. And, you know, we talked about Wilderness Lodge in a lot of ways feeling kind of compact, despite being somewhat sprawling in terms of how it's grown and everything. I'd say that we could generalize that Animal Kingdom Lodge is kind of the opposite. It really feels sprawling to me. But we probably should start with a little more detailed sort of description of what you're getting at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So, I don't know, Kevin, why don't you give us the description of Animal Kingdom Lodge? What's unique about it and makes it really feel like Animal Kingdom Lodge when you walk in there, sort of in terms of design and structure and all of that?
I think that a lot of the artwork and the furnishings, the theming when you walk in, just kind of sets you right into the mood of an African safari type location. And then being able to, even from the main lobby, walking out the back of the big windows and seeing the animals out there. I mean, there's no mistaking that, yes, you are in a unique place and with all of that.
Sure, sure. Maybe talk about your room options here. You know, in terms of like what you might find in the rooms, it's very similar to what we talked about at Wilderness Lodge, particularly in the regular hotel rooms, right? You've got a few king bedrooms that are, you know, not a bookable category. You've got your two queen bedrooms, and then you've got beds or rooms with a queen bed and a set of bunk beds. At Animal Kingdom Lodge, though, the real breakdown is between your standard view rooms and your Savannah view rooms. And there's some gradations within there as well, but the real sort of split is standard view versus Savannah view. And this one to me is always an interesting debate, because the price difference between a standard view at Animal Kingdom Lodge and a Savannah view at Animal Kingdom Lodge is significant. You know, a Savannah view at Wilderness Lodge is going to all of a sudden, or at Animal Kingdom Lodge, is going to put the price point right up there with the Contemporary in a standard room. So what do you guys think about that? I mean, Roy, what's your take? Is that Savannah view, which means you're looking out at the area, you know, the Animal Kingdom Lodge, they kind of encourage the conceit that it's the same Savannah as the Animal Kingdom theme park. It's not. They have their own Savannah.
But, right.
In any case, you're still looking out over the Savannah with the animals. What do you think of that, of the that upgrade? Is it an upgrade that you would find valuable or you think is worth the upgrade cost?
Well, I think asking that question, you're looking for two different types of travelers, right? There are those who say that, listen, it's all about the animals. And why would you stay at the Animal Kingdom Lodge if you can't see a giraffe standing right outside your door? You know, in which case, you're ready to pay for that. I have to admit, the time that I spent at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, I was the other way around. I wanted to stay at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, number one, to you know, check it off my list that I stayed at another Disney hotel. But more to the point, like you said, the price differential between a standard view versus a Savannah view room, it just, from a cost standpoint, I could stay at a deluxe resort where really all I want to do is just stay at a deluxe resort, eat at a nice restaurant and stay, you know, and enjoy all the amenities. I don't necessarily need to see the animals. You know, from that perspective, I get to stay at a deluxe resort for, you know, a significantly reduced rate than I would at any place else. So, you know, for those who are a little bit more cost conscious, that's another great option. The other thing too, when you're talking about room types and sizes and everything else, you know, they also have those value rooms. At least I know they have them with DVC, that they're almost like shoe boxes. But again, if all you're looking for is a place to throw your bags down and take a shower after you're done at the parks, again, for the price point, you can't beat it. Plus, you're getting all the amenities of staying at a deluxe resort. So,
right.
I mean, you got to look at things.
I don't want to get too much into the DVC rooms just yet, because I think there's some things to talk in the regular rooms first. But you raised a good point. This is the sort of the parallel or the equivalent to the deluxe studio rooms at Wilderness Lodge. So you don't have those at Animal Kingdom Lodge that will sleep five, but the sort of DVC secret room category that's useful for the cash folks to know about are those value studio rooms that you'll find in the Jumbo House building, the original Animal Kingdom Lodge building. They are small. It's what happens when you try to carve DVC out of standard hotel rooms, I think.
Yep.
But they can be a fantastic value, especially for much like we were talking about a couple at Wilderness Lodge, same kind of idea. If you're taking a couple's trip and, you know, you want to stay in a deluxe resort with some great amenities, but you don't need a lot of space, that value studio at Animal Kingdom Lodge can be a fantastic price.
Hey, Aaron, to the prior discussion on standard view rooms, I think the important thing to note on that is that standard view does not necessarily mean not having a view of the Savannah, because there's a big portion of those standard view rooms where you can see at least some portion of the Savannah from them.
Right, right. Now, there are some rooms now that you're committing yourself to being sort of on, you know, basically, if I'm remembering correctly, you have to sort of request rooms that are down at the end of sort of an arm, right?
Yep. Yeah, and you're rolling the dice. There's no guarantee when you book a standard view category that you're going to get one of those rooms. But, you know, there is a chance that when you book a standard view room, that the room is still got a pretty decent view. I mean, we've done one standard view where we were overlooking the Savannah, but we were kind of overlooking the Savannah and then the fence out to beyond the Savannah, just the way the room was positioned.
Okay.
Sure. I have a buddy that's an actuary that's actually teaching a class on fuzzy logic using this, because Disney had to go through and figure out what exactly is a Savannah view. What do people equate as, hey, I got the value of a Savannah view room when I paid for this? Because they had to go through and figure that out and then remove all those things that, you know, if they said, oh, it has 40% frontage to this, that they thought, you know, based on some strict categorization would have been Savannah view, but based on people's perception didn't count as it. So you've got a wide variety in that standard view. And if you're willing to roll the dice on it, you have the potential to have a really great view and save a bunch of money.
That's a great point, Ryan, because that's exactly what happened to me. You know, I booked one night at, you know, the Animal Kingdom Lodge with just a standard view. We checked in and it was kind of late. It was kind of getting late in the day. The sun was about to go down, but I mean, obviously I wanted to see what the view was like. And I just want to see what does the standard view look like. And I literally had a giraffe right outside my window. So I was like, wow, this is standard. See what Savannah's like. I actually, and just to confirm that, I actually went back down to the front desk.
Whether you'd gotten an upgrade.
Yeah. I actually wanted to say thank you to the cast member. And they said, for what? So you actually did get a standard view. I'm like, that's a standard? I'm like, wow, this is great. So yeah, like you said, a lot of it depends on the position of the room within the building. I mean, unless you've got a room that directly faces the parking lot, there's going to be a chance you'll see the Savannah. So it's not a bad thing.
Now,
we've had directly facing the parking lot too, though.
So. Yeah, I was just going to say the flip side to that is that there are standard view rooms that face the parking lot and or based on their positioning, leave you looking at the, like, you know, the roof of some of the lower hanging parts of the building,
that
are among the worst views in all of Walt Disney World, really.
Yeah, I hear you. But again, like I said, standard view, you get what you pay for.
Right,
that just
right.
Has to be a little bit of pixie dust. So,
and I will say that the upgrade to Savannah View is one of the few view upgrades that I do find myself recommending. And it does depend on the traveler and it depends on the situation. But, you know, if you're somebody who is going to spend a little more time in the room, is going to try and slow down a little bit, maybe on this particular trip, I still think about and, you know, reminisce about mornings hanging out on my balcony at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, having my morning cup of coffee and watching the animals come and, you know, get their breakfast browse that gets laid out for them to attract them to the area. There's just something incredibly magical about that, that, you know, yeah, you can see animals on the Savannah from a lot of different public viewing areas around Animal Kingdom Lodge, but it's not the same as being able to just kick back with your cup of coffee first thing in the morning and feel like you're immersed in that space.
You can hear the smile in your voice when you talk about that.
Definitely put one on mine. That's for sure. Absolutely.
Well, you know, there's my happy place, right?
Uh-huh. Well, and I think even the non-Disney people I know, when they come back and they talk about Animal Kingdom, that is the undercurrent is the excitement of, we sat outside, we had breakfast on our balcony, and there were giraffes or zebras, and that kind of peaceful, serene morning is an amazing, very unique thing to do. Unless you're going to Africa, I guess.
Right, right. All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about Animal Kingdom Lodge. And, you know, we talked about restaurants at Wilderness Lodge. For my money, I feel like the restaurant options at Animal Kingdom Lodge may be top to bottom among the best in any Disney resort. I think it gives every place, even really the Grand Floridian, I think it gives a run for their money. Grand Floridian, you know, has the advantage in high-end dining maybe, but, you know, looking at the whole slate, I really feel like Animal Kingdom Lodge may be some of the best dining all collected together, all of Walt Disney World.
I agree.
Yep.
I think Animal Kingdom Lodge is the one resort where I feel like I'm cheating myself if I touch anything in the quick service area there. Like, there's just so many great restaurants there that it would be a shame not to try them all.
Yeah, but I think the Mar is actually good. I think that you almost miss out by doing that, because we're talking about Wilderness Lodge. You go and you've got the standard pizza and chicken nuggets and burgers that you can get everywhere else. There's actually unique food at Mara.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
And it's more than even just the, you know, Zebra Domes, which is, you know, one nice thing about it. But I love that I can have, you know, a breakfast that has, you know, Pap and Chocolaca as part of the breakfast. You know, it makes it unique. It makes it different. And it belongs.
You just want to say that word. That's all.
What, Chocolaca?
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, that I guess is kind of to my point that even the quick service option is a great option. Now, I don't know much about, I know that they're now serving some quick service type breakfast stuff over in the like near where Sana'a is on the Kidani Village side. And I haven't experienced that one. Haven't really heard much about it. Because I know that that's been one of the long running complaints at Animal Kingdom Lodge, is that there really wasn't a decent, quick service option, particularly at breakfast over on the Kidani Village side. So, you know, anybody want to take a deeper dive on the restaurants at, Animal Kingdom Lodge for us? So somebody want to talk maybe specifically about, Boma first?
I'll take a shot at Boma. Okay. Boma, I guess, is their buffet style type of restaurant. Not necessarily character dining, but it is, I guess, their casual table service restaurant. A lot of the food is, like you said, very unique to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, but not so unique that your finicky eaters won't even sniff at it. You know, I think the food that they serve there is just right. The fact that it makes people feel a little bit adventurous, but if they really wanted to get crazy about it, they could really try something else that was kind of new. Again, you know, knowing that their clientele is mostly where the kids are going to be, they have a lot of activities going on in and around the restaurant. A lot of times they have cast members that are playing the bongos or things like that, you know, right outside. They're running processions through. But again, it's, I think the one thing also too, is that, the one thing I noticed, you know, going down there was, the service there, especially the cast members that are working in that area, they really do a good job of making you feel comfortable eating in that restaurant, because, you know, for some people, especially families with kids who are finicky eaters, they're going to walk into that place and not recognize that, well, where are my chicken nuggets or where are my French fries? They do a really good job of making these what they're able to experience in the long run. They'll enjoy it that much more. So kudos to them for that. But that's why I love Boma.
Anybody want to add anything else about Boma?
Well, the view is also really nice.
That's true. You do get some interesting view. One of the things I especially like about Boma is that I've got some folks in my family that have allergy issues, and we've had this, you know, at other places as well. Obviously, you know, Disney in general does a good job with folks with allergies and pointing out things, but our experiences at Boma dealing with that have been some of the best. They, you know, send a chef out. They literally give you a guided tour of every item on that buffet and talk through with you what the ingredients are in these dishes that you might, you know, want to be concerned about. Always friendly about it, always really helpful about it. Just, we've had a more positive experience dealing with that issue at Boma than I think any other buffet restaurant, that we've visited. All right. So in addition to, Boma, Animal Kingdom Lodge does have its signature restaurant as well. And Jiko is maybe my favorite signature restaurant. I know it doesn't get, it's not as well known. People don't talk about it as much. Sometimes it seems like the most you hear people talking about, Boma, or I'm sorry, most you hear people talking about Jiko is complaining about the, you know, mac and cheese being gone from underneath the steak. which I get people like what they like, but I'm telling you, the new version is really good.
what mac and cheese would taste like in Africa. So,
right, okay. Right. but I think Jiko's just a fantastic restaurant in so many ways. Anybody else want to talk a little bit about Jiko? And otherwise you have to listen to me gushing continually.
I haven't eaten there yet. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on it, because it's always been a restaurant that I've always been sort of intrigued about, but it just never got to pull the trigger.
Well, so here's my biggest thing about Jiko. First of all, they do a nice job of, you know, blending in African flavors and some African ingredients in fine dining dishes. The space is really inviting, really. I mean, it's odd, but it is one of the few sort of on this at the same time, really romantic restaurants that I'm also perfectly comfortable taking the kids to. you know, it's one of the only signature restaurants really that we've done with the kids. We've done a few, but I don't mind spending it on the kids there because there are food items that they genuinely really enjoy that are, you know, from among the fine dining options. One of the things I think they do particularly well is to sort of engage all of your senses with your food. Because I think that's really important in a fine dining restaurant. That's what makes it fine dining to me. And they do such a great job of blending texture, and it's not just that each thing on your plate tastes good. It's that they taste great together, right? They kind of meld even and are better than the sum of their individual parts. And to top it off, they have a fantastic wine list. And one of my favorite things about Jiko is not even the dinner at the restaurant, but at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, when they do the wine tasting, it's a great deal. You know, even I think the price has gone up since the last time I did it, but it's still not bad. You get, you know, a plate of various accompaniments that you kind of nibble on in between tastings, and you get to taste, trying to remember, I believe it's three different tastings and then a fourth that you can choose to have, you know, a pour of one of the three you tasted. Just a terrific, terrific experience with the wine tasting there. The sommelier comes out and walks you through the history of it. And there's some great history there from Animal Kingdom Lodge in particular, from Animal Kingdom Lodge in particular. I mean, in some ways, the restaurants at Animal Kingdom Lodge resuscitated the South African wine industry post-apartheid.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that quite a bit, and I just know from personal experience. You know, every time we go down there, you know, we usually our home resort is the beach club. But every time we go down there, my wife has to make that special trip that we got to get the wines from the Animal Kingdom Lodge, because she's fallen in love with South African wines. It's from what I understand, their wine cellar is probably one of the most extensive in the state, and their sommeliers are top notch. So, right. Again, another thing I want to check off my list. I would love to try it.
Well, yeah, some of the South African wines, Animal Kingdom Lodge is the only place you can get them because they buy the entire output of the winery.
That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And you still have Sanaa, which we haven't even talked about, which for a lot of people is their favorite restaurant in all of Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's over in the Kidani Village area, so it's a little more remote, and I think maybe sometimes people forget about it there. But, you know, it has its own unique approach and unique flavors. Ryan, what's your take on Sanaa?
Two words: bread service.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So of the table service at Animal Kingdom. That's actually the only one that we've eaten at. And we ate at it because of the bread service. And the rest of the meal was very, very good. But you are doing a disservice to yourself if you have not gone to Sana'a and had the bread service there.
And I got to say, I agree. I think the bread service is great. My family is not a huge fan of the whole Indian and Indian fusion type cooking. I think we would probably be happiest going and, you know, maybe having a big lunch that day and then going to Sana'a and just having bread service.
Yeah.
I've heard people do that.
I can see that. We're not, my wife in particular isn't a huge Indian fan. Everything we had was really, really good when we went. And we did it as an adult date night, and it was a wonderful evening. And the coffee there was actually really good as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All over Animal Kingdom Lodge, the coffee is very good.
Wow.
Agreed.
And they had things on their menu for people that were less adventurous. So you could there was definitely stuff that you could find if you weren't a fan of it. But yeah, the bread service is absolutely amazing. It is something that is a very unique experience across Walt Disney World.
Anybody else have any comment on restaurants or dining opportunities at Animal Kingdom Lodge? I will say I like the lobby bar there at Animal Kingdom Lodge quite a bit. It's got a really comfortable, relaxed vibe, kind of open to the rest of the lobby, and I like that a lot. I think the food options are better at the lounge, Territory Lounge at Wilderness Lodge, but I enjoy the atmosphere at, what is it, Victoria Falls? Is that the lounge?
Yes, I believe it is.
It's kind of a neat setup too, kind of being the way that it's set up in the lobby, kind of being a little bit downstairs from what I remember.
Right, right. It's kind of in a terrace almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a neat location. All right. So still at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you know, let's kind of go around and talk about some of the things that you like about it. Some of the things that are unique about Animal Kingdom Lodge that are the things you really enjoy about it. I don't know, Kevin, is there something about Animal Kingdom Lodge that you particularly enjoy?
Obviously it's for me anyway, it's the savannah and the animals. I mean, I have so many memories like you do of just waking up in the morning or going to bed at night with the animals out there and just finding my daughter just sitting out there, and she sneaks the camera away from me, and I come back and I find, well, there's 2,000 pictures of the animals on the savannah that I know I didn't take.
Thank that, God for extra cards.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I'd have to say it's the animals. And again, it's different, yet it's similar to Animal Kingdom. It's a relaxed atmosphere. It's away from the hustle and bustle. And it's spread out enough that, you know, you don't notice all the people.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. How about you, Roy? What's one of the things that just, you know, maybe we haven't talked about yet, but you really enjoy about Animal Kingdom Lodge and think people ought to know about?
I think for me, just with my experience there, it almost felt like I was walking into two different hotels just based on the timing of when I walked in. I mean, when we checked in, it was almost dark. And when I walked into the lobby, I was like, wow, this is it's really dark and intimate. But then when I woke up the next morning to go play golf, all of a sudden, you know, with the sun coming in through the windows, all of a sudden I was like, wow, this place really is big. So for me, it almost gave me like a vibe. It was like two different types of resorts, you know. And I think, you know, again, when you're talking about the type of traveler that likes to go to those types of hotels, when everyone's up and running about, it's great to show that it's nice and open and there's, you know, there's lots to see and do. But, you know, when the lights go down and you know, you don't see as much as you would if the sun were out, all of a sudden your eye catches different things. Like, all of a sudden you see the fire out in this, the bonfire sitting right next to the savannah. all of a sudden catches your eyes. It gives you a warm glow throughout the lobby. You know, you have those quiet, intimate places where, you know, if you're out on, you know, on a date night or something like that, it's very easy to find a place where you can sit and chat quietly over a glass of wine. So for me, it almost felt like I was walking into two different but two very special hotels. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting way of putting it, but it's a feeling that I've recognized as well. How about you, Ryan? Something that you really enjoy about Animal Kingdom Lodge that we haven't talked about yet that you think people ought to know about?
I think Animal Kingdom Lodge is great if you are there with your family and your kids because of all the different animal programs that they have that you can engage with. So it's not just the fact that you wake up and you have your coffee and you're watching the giraffes and the zebras in the morning. It's that they've got, you know, animal tracking where you go down and you meet with somebody and they teach the kids how to use the actual GPS tracking stuff and will hide a Mickey Mouse with an animal tracker on it, and the kids have to find it using that. And they have, you know, activities teaching about flamingos and those things are all really neat. And then they tie it all together with this activity where you get beads for different things that you do. So as you go through and you engage in these activities, you kind of build out a little chain showing that you're learning about things. So I think Animal Kingdom Lodge, more than any other resort, actually has very, very engaging activity programs at it designed for kids. So every resort's got kind of the kids club, or most every resort has kind of the kids club that kids can go to, and they have the afternoon pool party, but this really goes way beyond it and actually has things that are both educational and immersive. So I think that's a little bit unique. And if you're there and you want to engage with the animals, it gives you a way to do it that you're not really going to get anywhere else. And the great thing is a lot of those things are free. So it doesn't even cost you anything to do too.
Well, yeah. Now I'm going to kind of piggyback on that one and just, you know, give a specific shout out to the, you know, the African native cast members who work at Animal Kingdom Lodge. They do such a fantastic job of teaching kids, especially, but adults too, just little nuggets about, you know, their cultures and about the animals, you know, the ones who are working out in the sort of savanna viewing areas and are adding information about the animals and you know, their habitats normally and their behaviors and things like that. Just very engaging and full of terrific information. They do a really great job with the kids relating to them. And, you know, sometimes the activities are as basic and simple as, you know, doing crayon rubbings of, you know, some of the inlay work and things like that. But every step of the way, they tie it back to the story of Animal Kingdom Lodge. And to me, that's what makes it so much, you know, it's so Disney, right? Is that it all comes back to the story.
Absolutely.
And then the other big thing that I love is, I think more than just about any other resort, and Wilderness Lodge has some of these too, but even more Animal Kingdom Lodge has some of these just sort of little nooks that you can kind of escape in these little nooks just off of main hallways or lobbies. And I know that they're set up as animal viewing areas and you can do that, but they also tend to have comfortable chairs set up in them. And again, if you're taking a trip and maybe you're not going to spend as much time in the parks, you know, you're taking one of those trips where you're at Walt Disney World for, you know, 7 nights, but you're only going to spend 4 days in parks or something. Those little nooks at Animal Kingdom Lodge are just some of the best places to just chill out, you know, just relax. And it can almost substitute for being able to do, you know, the standard view room instead of the Savannah view, right? You can cheap out a little bit, do the standard view and right, just hang in those spaces and get that same sort of relax and recharge sense.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, it's, if you really do intend to take that off park day, you know, where if you're going to be there for a week and you're only going to spend 5 days in the parks or 4 days in the parks, Animal Kingdom Lodge has so many things going for it that it makes missing a park that much more easier to swallow, I guess, so to speak, especially if it's like a once in a lifetime trip. You know, you think you got to see and do everything in such a short amount of time, but the Animal Kingdom Lodge also almost makes it difficult for you to tear away from it and say, you know what, there's still so many cool things to see and do here. You know, don't forget about us. And you know, for me, that's a key component to relaxing at Walt Disney World, being able to take that break, but still feel as if, you know, you're experiencing something new.
Yep.
And one thing we really didn't talk about much at Wilderness Lodge at all, and we probably need to mention with regard to both these resorts, is we probably should talk a little bit about the pool areas, because both are pretty well done. Maybe even more so Animal Kingdom Lodge, but, you know, Wilderness Lodge has done a lot of upgrade work on their pools along with the build-outs they've been doing. Their pools have been basically totally rebuilt over the last, 3-4 years.
Yeah, they have, and they're both really, really neat. I really like the new Boulder Ridge pool at Wilderness Lodge. It has incredible theming. It doesn't have a slide, but it's got a zero entry. It's got just a really neat setup. The afternoon we spent there was peaceful, kids playing, and it was definitely a good time. Our experience with Animal Kingdom's pool has been slightly different in that while they're very lush surroundings, they tend to be crowded, particularly the one over at Kidani we found was really crowded and noisy.
Huh. Is it the Elaine's problem, right? It's the one that it's so popular that nobody goes there anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think we've been to it a couple times, and there in the afternoon, I don't know if it may be just the size of the resort. I mean, you've got a much bigger resort sharing two pools at Animal Kingdom than you do at Wilderness Lodge.
That's true. It's kind of unfortunate because the pools are beautiful at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but I can see that. I mean, ironically, I think we just stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge during colder months of the year. So maybe there was less attraction to the pool. So we didn't see it as much in February, but, yeah. I could see in the summer that being an issue because it is so much bigger of a resort. I can see them getting overwhelmed.
And we did, I think an April or May trip to, where we stayed at Animal Kingdom and the jumbo pool at that time actually was not crowded during the day. So it could have just been the particular week that we were there that we noticed Kidani's pool being really, really crowded.
Anybody else have thoughts on the pools at either of the resorts? All right. So let's kind of wrap up Animal Kingdom Lodge in much the way that we did Wilderness Lodge and, go around first. One of the things, you know, if there's a detriment, if there's something, somebody maybe it wouldn't be ideal for, let's make sure we address those as well. So, kind of start the circle back around. And Ryan, is there a criticism other than maybe a crowded Kidani pool that you would have for Animal Kingdom Lodge?
So I can think of two, but I'm going to save the one that I think that everybody's going to come up with. I actually had some friends that just got back from an anniversary trip. And they stayed there. It was not an ideal place for that. All the things that we've talked about that are great about it, with all the wonderful things to do, make it a resort. If you're looking for a quiet, intimate trip, it's not really ideal for that.
Okay, so probably not the best choice, maybe for that couple's anniversary trip, that kind of thing. I could see that. Kevin, how about you? Is there a weakness to Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Not so much as the Animal Kingdom, but Kidani. The length of the hallways. For me, I am disabled, so the walking the distance from the main room where you go to go get to the buses and everything back here to some of the rooms that are way out towards the end can get to be quite a long walk, especially at the end of the day. But other than that, I mean, I love them all, but to me, they seemed a little dark, and I don't mean dark as in scary or foreboding or anything like that. I just mean overall. I mean, it's been quite a few years since we stayed there, and they've upgraded, I know, and refurbished somewhat. But originally, the just the coloring, it was a dark place.
Yeah, there was a lot of darker browns and things, and I think in this last round of refreshes, they did go to some lighter color palettes, and I think it's helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Roy? You have a sense of a weakness at Animal Kingdom Lodge? Perhaps after you unmute, you could share them with us.
Duh, thank you. For me, it's the transportation. Since it's sort of a landlocked resort, you're dependent on the busing. And unless you know you're going to be spending a lot of time in the Animal Kingdom, you're going to be spending a lot of time on the buses. Animal Kingdom Lodge is one of those resorts, much like, for me, like Old Key West or Saratoga Springs, where I think a car is almost essential. If I need to get around, in any type of speed. Again, maybe I'm just a little bit of a snob, but, especially after, a long day at the parks, the last thing I want to do is to, lug a backpack and a baby stroller and a one-year-old, on a bus. If I could find a way to get them home as quick as I can, I would do that. But again, if you've got, If your family's really into animals, this is the place to be. Otherwise, I would try to find some place that's a little bit more centrally located to the rest of the action.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would echo as a detriment that the transportation is an issue. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to be on a bus for more than half an hour to get to the Magic Kingdom. So if you've got younger kids and it's going to be a Magic Kingdom heavy trip, probably not your best choice. And a car can help, but it's distance, right? It's the other side of the property. And I think that, it's a trade-off. You have to decide that you're okay with it kind of going in and understand that that's an issue. And if you do, if you're prepared for it, if you're expecting that longer commute, it's not such a big deal because it is a deluxe resort. They do a good job of keeping the buses pretty frequent.
Right.
We really, last time we were there, we only had one day, I think, where we had some really frustrating bus issues. But, if your expectation is to have park access like you would get from, the Contemporary or Beach Club, you're going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip side, I guess, to roll back around to some benefits is that from a value perspective, particularly if you're okay with a standard view room and especially when there are discounts available, the Animal Kingdom Lodge can be a great deal price-wise. And you can stay in a deluxe resort at a price point that maybe is a little more, little easier to swallow.
Right. I also think too that, again, if you love animals, this is the place to be, but the location of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and just given the fact that they need all that space for the savannah, it doesn't really make itself conducive to seeing other parts of the world. Like for instance, if you're staying around Crescent Lake, you've got the Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach Club, Swan and Dolphin, you've got a plethora of other entertainment options if you really wanted to see it. Same thing around the monorail loop and even in Wilderness Lodge to a certain extent. But the Animal Kingdom Lodge, it's pretty much what you see is what you get is right there. And again, to speak to what Ryan was saying before, the crew there does a great job of making it a destination. But, if you've got a hankering for a chicken parm sandwich, you're going to be out of luck at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. You're going to have to get in the car and go someplace else. So just be prepared for that.
Yeah. All right. So let's kind of go back around with our closing thoughts on Animal Kingdom Lodge, maybe a favorite thing that hasn't been mentioned or, something that summarizes your feelings about Animal Kingdom Lodge. Kevin, what do you think?
Tell you what, I know one thing that wasn't mentioned is the fact that if you get some of the two bedrooms, you get three bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that wasn't brought up, but, you know, sometimes, especially when you got a teenager, that third bathroom is not a bad thing to have.
Right, right. And with the, here we're talking about those DVC units, the vacation club units at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Yes. The two-bedroom units in particular are pretty spectacular, especially when you're traveling with a larger group or, Kevin makes a good point, when you're traveling with, you know, older kids and especially mixed genders of older kids. And personal space can be a real issue sometimes. The two bedroom can make a huge difference.
Well, and even the one bedroom has two bathrooms if you're in Kidani or in a lot of the Kidani rooms. And so that extra bathroom is huge. I mean, I know they set most of the DVC one bedrooms up, so you have kind of dual sinks, but, and when you come back from the park after that long walk back to your room, it's nice that, if you've got four people, that they're not all fighting for the same bathroom.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Any other thoughts wrapping up here, Ryan?
I just go back to the smile in your voice about the Savannah. Like, I think when I talk to my friends that kind of don't understand why I'm interested in Disney, and they kind of come to me and say, all right, well, we have to do our family trip to Disney. Where should we stay? Animal Kingdom comes out as one of those things because it is a completely different experience than you can get anywhere else. And if it's somebody that's kind of Disney antagonistic, I guess, it's an opportunity to for them to see something that they may not associate Disney with. And in general, people, I think, have really, really positive experiences with it.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's funny as we talk about how quintessentially, yes, I pulled out the Q word, how quintessentially Disney Animal Kingdom Lodge is. Ironically, it's almost the you know, most comfortable entry point for the non-hardcore Disney fan to help them kind of get it, I guess.
Yeah.
And how about you, Roy? Any final thoughts?
You know, the one thing that surprised me the most about my stay at the Animal Kingdom Lodge was that how relaxed I actually felt. You know, every trip I've gone, you know, obviously you're getting excited. You're going to see all your favorite characters. You're going to go to the parks. But the one thing that I truly, and it was my wife that actually noticed it, was, you know, after having dinner, you know, we walked out to the Savannah and we sat next to the bonfire, and I had a glass of Pinot Noir in my hand. And I just sat in one of the rockers, and I just had this, much like the smile that I'm sure you have on your face when you talk about it, Aaron, where I just was like, I was at utter peace.
Yeah.
You know, my wife was like, wow, I've never seen you this relaxed at Disney. And I thought to myself, you know what? Life doesn't get much better than this. You know, I staying at a great place and sitting next to a fire with my wife and glass of wine in hand, there isn't any other place I'd rather be, you know, and I wasn't expecting that kind of feeling at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It was more about the whole idea of exploring a new resort, but to me, just sitting next to that fire started off my vacation the right way.
Yeah. All right, so I think the last thing I want to do to wrap up, just do a quick rapid fire around the circle here, and I'm going to ask you guys this simple question. All things being equal, you're going to go to Walt Disney World, you're taking your trip, your standard week-long trip. All things being equal, Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge? Kevin.
Split stay.
He's going to cheat right off the bat.
Well done.
I mean, it's a hard choice. If you're going to pick, you know, the reasons for staying in either one, a lot of them are similar, and I think we've all discussed them pretty well. You know, the quietness, the relaxation, not so much the Disney hubbub. In fact, I was just thinking, as everybody was talking, it doesn't just relate to these two resorts, but to all of them. There's almost a certain vibe or a certain flavor for each resort. They're all different and unique, and you see them all differently.
Yeah.
Although I would say, because I've lived in the Pacific Northwest for 20 years now, I would probably pick Wilderness Lodge over Animal Kingdom if I had to choose just one for a week's stay. Okay. One thing Disney has done, and a lot of people because they haven't been out here, they don't realize what a good job Disney has done with taking the scenery and the flavor and the atmosphere and depositing it there. You know, this last tour we took of the cabins, and I was thinking, I was looking out the windows and I was walking around, you know, give the vegetation they've got about another 5 years and it's going to look like my backyard. So, and it's just, you know, I mean, I could sit out there on the balcony for a long time and just chill.
Yeah. All right. Same question, Roy. Where are you staying?
Right now, I would definitely stay at the Wilderness Lodge until my daughter grows up, because I know she's got an affinity for animals already, in which case I'm not going to have a choice. It's going to be the Animal Kingdom. But I would definitely stay at the Wilderness Lodge, only because for me, it's like it's a childhood fantasy to stay in a place that looks like the Lincoln Logs I played with as a kid. You know, it definitely brings back a lot of fond memories. The Wilderness Lodge also, for me, happens to be the first Disney resort I actually stayed in. So it's got a special place in my heart. So definitely the Wilderness Lodge.
All right, Ryan, how about you?
Well, it's going to be a complete Wilderness Lodge at Christmas.
Oh, okay. You're going to pick a specific time.
Yep. That is of the two resorts. I mean, if I look at where we spent our money recently, it's been Wilderness Lodge. So that's how we vote with our pocketbook. But if I think back to specific magical times, Wilderness Lodge at Christmas is really, really amazing.
Okay. And I think for me, I mean, I guess if I can ask the question, I better answer it. I think I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to say Wilderness Lodge. The reason is we've done fairly recent stays at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I haven't done a stay at Wilderness Lodge with the whole family. I've only stayed there during a solo extension. So especially now that they've done, you know, they've got all this construction work done and things are settling down a little bit at the resort, I would really like to experience Wilderness Lodge with my family, which we haven't done yet. So, you know, you all have heard us rambling on about these two resorts for quite a while. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. And hey, if you got an extra minute, we'd really appreciate a review on whichever service you're using to listen to the show. New reviews help bump us up in the search rankings and makes it easier for folks to find us. So whatever it is you're using to listen, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, toss a little review in there, make it easier for somebody else to join in the fun as well. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Kevin Bentley.
Good night, everyone.
Roy David.
Have a good night, all.
And Ryan Treichler.
Thanks for listening to us.
Outro music is Whiskey on the Mississippi by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons.
So much for a short podcast.
No kidding.
Yeah, really, an hour and a half.